Rorik sits back from the computer monitor in stunned disbelief. He swivels his chair to look first to his brother Kojak, and then to his boss Rick Flare standing behind him. Both wear the same stunned expression.
Boss! What even is that thing?
Rick stares back at him blankly.
What? How the heck should I know?
All three men turn to look at the small, sharply dressed woman leaning against the stone wall to their left. Her expression completely neutral, she pushes off the wall with her shoulder, her arms still crossed in front of her, and she walks forward to look at the image frozen on the screen.
What did he call it again?
She gazes up at the array of screens, each showing a different still of the massive armor-scaled nightmare balancing the dingy yellow school bus for Dr. Cogsbuckle's School for Enlightened Children carefully on its shoulder.
I think he called it Terrence, ma'am.
The woman chuckles to herself.
Terrence. Amazing.
She looks over to the three men and smirks.
Well, round up your men, Rick. I believe my superiors would be very much interested in meeting Terrence firsthand. Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Side Quest. My name is Joey, and I am your GM. As always, and with me, I have the three greatest PCs in the tri-state area. First up is Dan. Dan, how are you, buddy?
Well, Joseph, I'm doing quite well. How are you?
It's good, man. You feeling good tonight?
You know I am feeling good. It's been a good week this week.
That's good. I'm ready to ruin it. That sound good to you?
No.
Okay. Richie's playing Den Weasel. Den, Richie, how are you?
I'm here. What's going on with you?
Oh, man. Just, you know, thinking of ways to make y'all have fun and entertain people.
Yeah, man.
You having fun, Richie?
I mean, we just started, but I got to do a lot of reading here in a minute, so probably not.
Speaking of reading and enjoying it, last but not least, we have Cruz Turner. Cruz, how are you, buddy?
Dude, I'm so fucking good this evening. I woke up and I felt like a piece of okay, just an absolute shit bag. And then I thought to myself, why the fuck do I feel so bad? And then I just started feeling good. So that's about me. How the fuck are you, Joey?
Wow. That's wow. All right.
You know, I kind of feel the same, to be completely honest.
Cruz, you okay?
Yeah, no, it's just honestly, I've had a really good day. Also, just so you guys know, I am topless right now. So, quick before October sweeps it away, come to our OnlyFans Sick Pod After Dark, and you can get some tasteful nudes of your favorite cast members.
Wow, I don't even know where to go from
Man,
there.
Man, we are really taking advantage of that explicit tag.
We are. It's good stuff. You know what? We check that box every week for a reason. So, Dan, Dr. Cogsbuckle, last time you had a lot of people tell you that they were worried that you might die on this mission.
Yes, of course. Well, you know, I'm not only am I concerned about my own well-being, but I'm also concerned about everybody else's. I do, you know, it has crossed my mind, yes.
You did tell Ratboy not so much on the coming with. Why was that?
Well, he's Ratboy. He's important to us. I don't want to endanger him with our shenanigans.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, Boulder, you did have a few tender moments with Ratboy in the last episode. Y'all are fostering quite the relationship.
I think of Ratboy more of a little brother's or maybe a son's. You know, I've never really thought about having children's, and then it kind of blossomed into a beautiful father-son's relationship, you know, writing him the notes and wishing him happy, you know, times and teaching him how to read, and then He's been getting us to play games with him, but we're not going to talk about that. That's a little embarrassing.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Maybe at some point that'll come out for the audience. Now, Den, you tried to convince Nelson to come with you, and that didn't work out.
Yeah, I'm not too good at talking. Wait a minute.
Who is?
That's not Den's voice.
Yeah, that was Richie's voice.
What was that? See, you got me all messed up because, you know, the one person thing, man. Yeah, no, I'm just not that good. You know, I'm not good at talking. I've never been good at talking. Like the other guy said, I don't know where he came from.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll ignore that other guy for the time being. So I do appreciate the fact that you pointed out to Boulder the obviously fake present that he got from Nelson. That could have been disastrous.
Yeah, I know Nelson's all about the pranks and whatnot, but I'd rather the pranks come when I'm personally not in mortal danger. The friends, I can help and potentially save that. But if I go, well, it's not, I can't laugh at the joke later. You know what I mean?
That's a fair point. Now, would you say that Nelson has a somewhat skewed sense of humor? Because one of his jokes on you guys was blowing up Monica and part of the school.
Yeah, I think it's his thing. His brand of humor.
Is that dark humor? Or?
Well, I mean, technically nobody died. Our personal stuff just got broke. I feel like Nelson was a bully back in school. He always took people's stuff and broke it because he never had it. So, I don't know. Dude, I just work on cars. I don't work on people.
Very true. Now, Boulder, how did you feel receiving those fake EMP grenades?
Well, I thought that it was, you know, a kind gesture from Nelson's, but it turns out that he was being a little bit of a, let's just say, butthead. So I don't think that it's appropriate. But, you know, if Den says it's a joke, then ha.
Now, along with that, Boulder, you seem to take issue with how Marla created a distraction for you guys to enter the monolith. Why is that?
I don't personally believe in killing people that aren't deserving of it. You know, people will say, but Boulder, when you was doing the heists in the banks, the men's were just doing their jobs, but they were trying to kill us and stops us from getting what we want. You know, typically I don't condone murders for murder's sake. I think that you really need a reason to put down someone.
Yeah, so you're not a means to an end kind of guy.
Yes, I don't know, yes.
All right, guys. Well, hey, we've done our 6 minutes. Let's say we quit delaying this thing and get into it and see if everybody makes it to the end of the episode.
Or if I can read this properly. A plume of dark black smoke billows high into the air above the still-burning wreckage from the helocar. The whole of the NHPF forces, once patrolling the front of the Haywood monolith, now move to and fro around the wreckage in nearly total disarray. Conflicting orders are shouted over the roar of the fire as several of the Protectorate attempt to get close enough to look for survivors, while others attempt to hold back the rapidly growing crowd of onlookers. Amid the chaos, four figures, three in dark gray suits, and one in a significantly more gaudy stark white suit with faux gold accents, skirt behind the mass of people, careful to avoid stray glances from the NHPF. They ascend the marble steps in the shadow of the monolith, and, upon reaching the middle landing, the largest of the four stops briefly.
Marla's?
What now, Boulder?
Marla's? What? Why did you have to shoot that man?
Boulder, seriously, this really isn't the time for second-guessing a decision that very obviously worked. Now hurry up, we need to get inside.
Boulder looks back towards the mayhem in the street and turns back. He opens his mouth, stops, closes it, and then, looking back one last time, he turns to ascend the steps, giving a quick glance to Marla as she moves up ahead of him.
You guys are ascending the steps of the monolith, the second set of stairs. The marble clacks softly under your feet as you head up and towards the large glass atrium that stands in front of you. Several sets of double glass doors hang open where people came rushing out, where the NHPF came rushing out. And you also see large groups of onlookers scattered here and about on the inside of the glass, kind of looking out, and you can see people in shock and horror observing this scene. Dr. Cogsbuckle, you are up in front of the group as it comes up, Den slightly behind, Marla behind him, and then Boulder taking up the rear. Dr. Cogsbuckle, how do you approach the building? What's the plan?
So I'm going to look back at them. Well, we're almost here. Everybody at casual.
Yeah, no, Doc, I think that's a good part of the plan, you know, probably the most important part of the plan. What are we doing once we get inside? I mean, I got us this far, but, you know, sniper shots only go so far, especially in a crowded building.
Well, should we try and approach the front desk and see if they'll let us upstairs?
I mean, that's fine with me. Den, Boulder, y'all got any objections to that?
No.
I guess no.
You continue to ascend the steps towards the one of the front doors that's hanging open, and you make it inside. Inside, you can see the marble continues in. It's now transitioned from black marble to white, and you see a very nice, ornate wooden reception desk over to the right-hand side. The atrium windows extend up and over and kind of connect to skylights overhead, letting in the noonday sun, and you can see people inside whispering to each other. Wow, I can't believe that. That's right in the middle of the street. I wonder what happened. That's crazy. And the conversation just kind of continues low as people watch in disbelief. You're able to more or less make it past to the front desk without a problem. And behind there, you see a young woman, probably in her late 20s, dressed very well, wearing the colors and name badge to signify that she is a ZSG employee. Her name badge says Fifi, and as you approach, she says, "Hi, welcome to the Hayworth Monolith. How can I help you today?"
"Well, hello there. Fifi, is it?"
Yep, that's me. That's Fifi is my name, and reception is my game. How can I help you?"
"Well, I'm Walter Cronkite, and I am here with my friends. Well, not friends. Well, more of associates, you know. We have Tina Beckett here, we have Nid Easel, and,
It's at this point you realize that Marla has no name tag. She looks at you, somewhat panicked.
"And of course, this is Susan Stark."
Roll to seduce or manipulate someone.
Okay, so that is a 6. I'm going to use charismatic to roll plus weird, so that's an 8. I have a plus 2.
All right. And this game, on a 6 or lower, that's a failure. On a 7 or 9, that's a mixed success. On a 10 plus, that is a full success. On an 8, they will go along with you, but only if you provide some concrete assurance, corroboration, or evidence first. And Fifi kind of sits up straight in her chair and turns to her computer and says, what was that name again? Can I see your name tag? I'll just scan it real quick and let you ride up."
"Well, Fifi, Susan, she's a little bit new to the team, and she forgot her name tag. She realized it walking to the front door. We have ours here, but, you know, we told her numerous times, 'Susan, please remember your name tag.' And what do you know? We arrive here, and she says, 'Ah, Walter, I forgot my name tag.' So, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of those days. You know, Fifi, I'm sure you've had that."
As you impersonate her voice, Marla looks at you and just a look of complete displeasure crosses her face. Fifi turns back and says, "Oh, that's no problem. Actually, I can just look it up in the computer. Can you spell it for me?"
"Susan Stark. Yes, it's S-U-S-A-N. S-T-A-R-K.
A-R-K. Okay, just a second. While the computer's kind of doing its thing, do you guys need anything? Would you like anything to drink?"
"I would love a water. I'm parched."
"Oh, that's no problem." And she goes back and pulls out a drawer under her desk and puts a glass bottle of water on the counter.
Can we pause real quick? Like, in motion? All right, so as she's looking down underneath to where her, I guess, the refrigerator is, kind of thing, are the power supplies for the computer on the outside facing us?
So they're on the inside of the desk, but go tell me what you're thinking.
Well, because we're kind of essentially in a little bit of a bind, and I do trust what Dan's trying to do, but I also want to have a backup of Dan wants to kind of like where he's standing, his offhand could potentially pull the power on the computer while she's looking this up and go, "Oh no, what happened?"
Yeah, I like that. So you can see into the side of the monitor. You can see the power cable going up and plugging into the side of the monitor.
So Den's going to go over and kind of like gently start tugging on it and wiggling it to pull it out.
So she sets the water down on the desk and she kind of looks over the four of you and says, "Anybody else need anything, or are we good to go here?"
Den's going to look over at the doc.
I look back at everybody else and I think we're all good here. We appreciate you, Fifi.
"Well, no, it should be pretty much done." And she begins to turn back to her desk. Den, are you going to proceed?
Den pulls the power.
Okay, so let's do a roll plus cool. Is anybody going to help by attempting to distract her further?
Yes, guys.
Yes, I'm going to I'm going to, because I have a plus three with Dan, so I can help him out.
All right, roll the help or interfere Dan for plus HX, and tell me what you get.
That is a 10.
On a 10 plus, you will give them plus two on their roll. So, Richie, what did you get on your plus cool roll?
The roll said 5. My plus cool gave me a 6, and then whatever he gave me to the plus 6.
Nice. So you do manage to pull the power cord out right before she turns back, but as you pull it out, it slips from your fingers, and it lays bare next to the computer, just right on the desk in full view, and you straighten up quickly as she turns back. And what do you do?
Didn't do anything. So he's gonna stand there and just kind of look over and like nothing happened.
Could I actually get a sparkling waters, please? This is Tina Beckett.
Hey Tina. No, we actually don't do like the sparkling. You drink sparkling water? That's kind of like a. It's not really a. That's kind of like a out of town taste. Where are you guys from?
So we're from the Hubs, actually, but my grandmother's actually was one of the few success stories out of the Warrens, and, you know, she was
So bad for those people over there. I mean, they're really just leading garbage. Terrible lives, and...
They should honestly wipe out the Warrens is...
No, that's true. That's all over the news now, and I try not to participate in that conversation, but...
Let me stop you there. You know, like my grandmother said, you know, the Warrens is trash. Tina, you'll never go back there, but you can have a taste of the sparkling waters. So maybe I'll take a waters, and then we can skip the politics is dues to, you know, you don't talk about hoverball and politics unless you're at the Thanksgiving tables.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. Speaking of, I just wanted to ask about, your name's Tina?
Yes.
I wouldn't. It's going to be bad. I mean, he's going to look right at her face going like, look, I understand what you see. We see it on a daily basis. But to save you and your mind, I wouldn't.
Yes, Fifi, it's quite, it's not a story that you really want to hear in the morning.
Okay, well, that's fine. Okay, so let me just get back to the searching
Water,
for Miss Stark
Fifi.
Here. What's that?
Water, please.
Oh, yeah, water. No problem. And she goes back to the drawer and pulls out a water.
Dan's going to
move the cord.
Yeah, Dan's moving the power cord behind the PC.
So you pull it over behind the monitor without her looking. She sets the water back on the counter. She turns back and sits down behind the computer and says, okay, well, Miss Stark, what? And she kind of like looks around the computer and says, oh no, my station's acting up.
When she looks back up at us, the water bottle is empty.
You just like one-shotted it?
Yeah.
It's like cruise in real life.
Now, Fifi, if I may.
Yeah. And she's still like messing with her computer, trying to push the power button.
We're in quite a, we're in a bit of a hurry. And I slip her a corpo.
Oh, really? One of your 7 corpos that you have?
Yes. Now, if we could just skip this portion. We are in quite a hurry. We promise that we will make sure that Susan has her badge next time we come.
Roll to seduce or manipulate, and I'm going to give you a plus 2 for that.
It's a 9. What is that, 14?
On a 10 plus, they'll go along with you unless or until some factor action betrays the reason, so continue.
Yes, like I was saying, Fifi, we are in quite a bit of a hurry, so this isn't much of a bribe as it is just we just need to skip this part and move on. We're in a bit of a hurry. It's of great importance.
Not that we're gonna make any trouble. Din's gonna wink at her with his really goofy smile.
She kind of like blushes a little bit and says and she like puts her palm over it and scoots it back towards her, and she says okay, yeah, no, I think we can do this. And she pushes back from her chair and says, I'll have to call the tech department about that later, but let me escort you guys over to the elevator real quick.
Yes, of course, Fifi. We appreciate you.
So she pushes the chair back and comes around the desk. You see that she's dressed kind of like in a, think like the uniform that a concierge would wear. So it's a suit, but it's obviously one that was paid for by the company. And she comes around the corner of the desk. She's slightly shorter than you thought she was, just based in the chair, probably about 5'2". She has tightly pulled back blonde hair, and she says, all right, well, we can go over this way, and I'll get you guys set up at the elevator, but first we kind of got to pass through security here. Shouldn't be any problems. Maybe just, like, you can put your bags over there in that bin, and they can go through the scanner, and then you guys can come through, and other than that, we should be good to go. What are you guys doing with your weapons?
Okay, so... If you remembers, Boulder has Nelson's false bottom bag. So I have loaded in there my grenade launcher, plenty of grenades. And then I've also loaded in the Doc's steam pistol and Den's brand new fancy double-barreled shotgun. And then my own personal rail rifle disassembled.
So do you put it in the bin?
Yes.
All right, you place it in the bin, and Marla places her canvas bag behind it.
Just so you know, sorry. In that bag is like gym paraphernalia, you know, like shoes, socks.
Yeah, to disguise the hidden compartment.
Yeah.
Also, so as the stuff's going through, Din wants to kind of also potentially like hide some of the stuff, because I don't know what Marla's bag is technically made out of. So as stuff's going through, Din's going to kind of like lean up against like the monitor and be like, look, Fifi, I don't want to be too formal about this, but he's going to look her up and down. It's like, you would be single, would you?
She kind of blushes again, and she says,
No. A gorgeous girl like you? There's no way.
Yeah, no, I just kind of got out of a relationship, so it's...
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And as Din's saying this to her, he's going to kind of, like, with his hand behind his back, kind of wave them to go through, like, the scanning machine.
Baldur's going to come up behind... Or Tina's going to come up behind after he puts his bag down and talk to... his loss, Fifi's. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Tina Beckett. I mean, you're quite the beautiful young lady, and I think that any man would be lucky to have you. And trust me, my mother's was a beautiful woman, so I know beautiful women's, and my sister as well.
I'm already through the security checkpoint.
Yeah, so you roll through the security checkpoint, and you the machine beeps a happy beep, and you pass through the guard way that's standing beyond, which is much more intimidating, not NHPF, but actually a ZSEC guard. He waves you through, and you kind of pull up past it. Dr. Cogswell, I'd like you to roll to read a person for Marla.
God, he's on fire.
That is a 10.
On a 10, I'm not going to give you a question here. I'm going to tell you a piece of information. So on a 10, you notice that for the briefest second, as Den and Boulder talk to Fifi, a muted look of jealousy passes over Marla's face. Just as soon as it's there, it's gone.
Okay.
And she walks through the scanner next and picks up her canvas bag on the other side as you hear the happy beeps again. And then Den and Boulder, you're the last two on the side with Fifi. And Fifi says, look, guys, I really appreciate that. Like I said, it's still kind of raw right now, you know, but it's always nice to receive a compliment. So thanks very much.
I understand, Fifi. And I'm going to lightly tap her on the shoulder and be like, you be strongs and just, you know, remembers you're the prize, not him's. And then I'm going to walk through the apparatus.
So you hear the two little happy beeps again, and you walk through and see your bag sitting there on the in the bin to the left.
Din's going to calmly, like as Tina goes through, Din's going to slide his wad number to her, wink, and then walk through.
she grabs it and puts it in a pocket and smiles at you somewhat sheepishly as you walk through the scanner, and you hear the two happy beeps, and then all four of you are on the other side standing next to the quite large ZSEC guard with his body armor and his ballistic mask on it, and through the full face mask, through some audio equipment on the inside and a microphonics, you can hear him say,
all right, pass through, come on, let's keep it moving, we don't want to form a line here.
Appreciate that, big guy. And Din's gonna finger gun at him.
He does not react to it, but Fifi says, all right, guys, thanks for visiting the Hayworth monolith. Have a great meeting.
You too, gorgeous. And he's gonna walk on.
You guys head down a long walkway to a bank of elevators at the end. Overwards, you can see the glittering gold letters that spell out Hayworth Monolith, and you can see several other people milling about. You notice, Dr. Cogswinkle, as you walk up, that everybody that gets on the elevators is scanning their badges to actually access the elevators. What do you do?
Boys, Marla, it seems that they're scanning badges to get on the elevator. I mean, I would think that we would just need one to get on the elevator. If it's just, is it like one of those elevators that like it opens up after you scan a badge?
That's what it seems like, yep.
Okay, so we only need like one badge, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Boys, Marla, looks like we're going to have to scan our badge to get... It doesn't really matter which one, but just be prepared.
So you get up to the elevators, and you can see kind of a card reader on the left-hand side that you just kind of wave a badge in front of. And do you pick one of the more occupied elevator lines, or do you pick one of the ones off by itself? There's probably 15 or 20 elevators in this bank.
I'm going to go to the one like that's less occupied.
Okay, so you move over to the left, and there's only a few people standing around here. There's like some pretty comfy-looking chairs around some low chairs. chairs around some low tables where people are kind of congregated, and you hear people discussing the wreck outside, and you also hear some conversations of discussing business and some of the comings and goings of the people. These just look like your standard office people, nobody high up or anything like that. Everybody's wearing suits that are slightly on the cheaper side. Actually, the suits you're wearing are slightly nicer than ones a lot of people are wearing there. And just as you walk over Boulder, you feel somebody grab onto your sleeve from one of the people sitting in the chair. What do you do?
I look.
A man with slick back hair says, "That's a pretty nice suit you got there, ma'am." And he notices the cut of your suit and that it clearly appears to be a women's suit.
"The name is Tinas Beckett's."
"Yeah, no, I've just, it's a pretty nice suit. How did you happen to come to a Howard Johnson suit like that? What are you high level middle management? What's going on? Who are you? I've not seen you before."
"If I would I talk to someone like you?"
I mean, I'm an up and comer. So yeah. In a few years, maybe 10, 15 years, you'll be talking to somebody like me."
"I'm gonna jerk my arm away. Then why don't you up and come and not talks to me?"
That's pretty good. I think I'll let you get away with that one. So you turn back towards the elevator. And you hear the man huff and then go back to complaining about the upper level middle management. And you move over to the elevators with Den, Marla, and Dr. Cogsbuckle. Dr. Cogsbuckle, Den, who is scanning their card to get on the elevators?
"I'll scan mine."
You scan your card and it dings, and you see the the elevator doors slide open. And inside, you can see a wood paneled elevator with gold handles all around, and then also a mirrored ceiling and a mirrored floor. Does everybody get in? What do you guys do?
Yeah, I guess
yes.
We get in.
Yes. Yes.
I also, when we get in, I'm going to stare down the guy who touched my suit.
you do that. Last to get in, you stare down the guy, and he kind of gives a look back at you and actually uses one hand and two fingers to point at both eyes and then points both fingers at you.
I'm going
to
point one finger back.
Which one?
You know which one.
Nice. So you still staring at him, step backwards to the elevator, fingers still held aloft, and just as the elevator doors are about to slide closed, a hand shoots through the closing doors and bounces them back open. What do you guys do?
I put my hand down quickly.
You put your hand down as the doors slide open, and a thin man dressed in not a suit. Well, it is a suit, but it's very, very ill-fitting. It looks much too baggy, almost like it's his dad's suit. He says, "Hey, can I catch a ride up to the thing? I'm in a pretty big hurry." He's pushing a mail cart.
What does he look like?
He's got a just,
you know,
still
the question
same
I'm trying to ask you, Joey. What does he look like?
he's got tell me what you're asking.
Is he wearing shoes?
He is wearing shoes.
What does his fingernails look like?
Did we hear clicking when he came in?
No, he looks like a normal ZSG employee pushing a mail cart.
All right.
As far as your respective scores can tell.
Oh. Okay. Well, shut me up then. All right.
No, this is a normal ZS. You can read a person. Go ahead. But you know what? It's a dice game. Roll to read a person.
It's going to be a 9.
On a 7 to 9, you can hold one of the following questions. Are they telling the truth? What are they really feeling? What do they intend to do? What do they wish that you would do?
What are their intentions?
He seems to earnestly be trying to deliver some mail. And you kind of look over his like badging and the card he's pushing and everything. Everything seems to be in order as far as you can tell.
All right, I'll stop being nosy and let the story go on.
All right, look, this is out of character. This is not in Boulder's head because Boulder is currently thinking about how dare he touch my suit before this guy accidentally kills us with an explosion because he's some sort of domestic terrorist. I'm going to be upset.
So you guys kind of take a step back, and Marla steps back into the corner in between Dr. Cogsbuckle and Boulder. You can just kind of barely see her eyes peeking out between y'all's shoulders. The man pushes the cart in, and he's probably in his like early 20s, tall and thin, and he is, like I said, looks like his suit is way too big, and he says, How's everybody doing today?"
"Hey, how's it going? Oh, you know, just another work day. What about you, man?"
"Oh no, I'm doing good, sir. I really, you know, just trying to get some mail delivered, trying to do a good job for all you guys."
"Yes, of course. We appreciate you very much."
"Oh, thank you, sir. I very much appreciate that. I try to be in help in any way that I can."
Boulder's gonna lean down and go, "Why is your suits not fit so good?"
He looks down kind of sheepishly and says, "Well, that's,
you know, when you work in the mailroom, you gotta kind of dress for the job you want, and most of the guys just wear, like, coveralls and stuff, but I hope to be lower, middle, upper management one day.
Dr. Cogsbuckle looks at him suspiciously.
Lower, middles, uppers, managements?
Yeah, you know, in the tier structure, like, lower, middle, like, lower management, but middle, upper.
Kid, get a realistic dreams.
What, you don't think I can make it to lower, middle, upper management?
Not from the mail rooms, you can't, not with the suits like that.
Din's gonna, behind this conversation, look at the doc and just offhandedly go, Doc, did you feed Warwick and Terrence before we left?
Who is Doc?
Your nickname? We've been working together for a long time. What is this about?
Ah, yeah, so it's just been a while since you called me Doc. I'm so used to Walter.
Marla face palms again.
Tina's gonna stand up straight and turn around. If your gunners interrupts me while I'm talking to the boys, then there might be some demerits heading your ways.
Tina's established herself as the boss.
Is this happening right now? And Din's gonna look her like square in the face.
He's gonna look at Nid, and he's gonna open his eyes. Yes, of course, Nid. And like he's gonna like wink. Like if we don't show the boy the proper structures, then he definitely won't make his dreams. And he's gonna mouth, "I'm so sorry about this, Din."
Din's gonna reach up and fix the collar on her blouse after being all ruffled. Go. Now you know what? It's my fault. Did have my coffee today. Kind of in a mood. You feel me?
Well, as the upper middle management liaison, I'm really happy that me and you get to work together, Nid. And you twos, I haven't really earned the rights to call you Doc, but Walter, you're just astounding to work with, and it's nice to show that we can come together as team, a team, rather, in front of this lowly males boy. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to get back down in his face.
I put my hand on my face and I shake my head and tap my cane twice to try and get everybody to back on track.
We're still in the elevator.
Yeah, still, and also y'all haven't pushed any buttons.
Oh, man.
Now, what floor are you headed to there, sir?
I'm actually, I'm just moving on up to floor 27.
Yes. Guys, do you remember what floor the executive offices are on?
Boulder's going to pull his sleeve up and look, and he has a diagram on his arm.
The executive offices are floors 90 through 120.
I'm going to press 120.
There's no 120 on this elevator.
I'm going to press whichever number the kid wants.
You press 27, and he says, Oh, thanks. What? Y'all work on 27? I've never seen you guys before.
Well, no, we're higher up than that.
Okay, then who you seen on 27? Maybe I can go ahead and give you his mail now, you know, and you can kind of deliver it to him.
Look, I don't want to be disrespectful.
Hold on. We wouldn't want to do your job for you. I can tell you're a man of pride, and you're trying to work your way up in the company, and I would not want to interfere with that. So we'll let you go ahead and do your job.
He stands up a little bit straighter and says, "Wow, I really appreciate that. Ma'am, are you okay back there?"
And he like kind of looks in between y'all's shoulders to see Marla's eyes widen as she's finally addressed.
What's your name, son?
My name, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ever asked my name before. My name's Sid, sir.
Sid, don't address her.
Is she okay?
You think it's bad the way I'm talking to yous? She's even worse. And I'm going to turn around and look at Marla, and I'm going to, like, open my eyes for her to give him kind of a grimace.
She looks at you for a second, and then she does that and kind of looks like, you know, not the person you want to mess with. And Boulder, it kind of shocks you how, like, quickly she slips into that act, and you turn back towards Sid. What do you say?
Sid, do you want to do me a favor? And I can put in a word for you to give a little bit progress towards your goal.
With this, the elevator door, or the elevator dings, and the doors slide open. He says,
"Yes, Miss Beckett. What would that be?"
So first thing, try to get your suit tailored to fit you better. Where are the elevators to go to the executive floors? I'm a little turned around.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you go up to 40, you can kind of walk over and find the executive elevators near the back by the upper management's office.
We're gonna thank yous, and then I kind of assist him out the door and press 40.
So he backs out of the door, and you kind of guide him out, and then you press 40 on the elevator, and the doors close.
Well, wait. Before the doors close. Before the doors close.
Yes, sir.
What's your last name, kid?
It's Fortnite, sir. Sid Fortnite.
Got it. And he's gonna kind of like finger gun at him and wink.
He like smiles at you and turns the cart to push it down the row. You see just rows upon rows of cubicles, and the door slide closed, and Marla like lets out a breath and goes, "What was that?"
Conversation?
I was actually channeling Lost Cats.
I mean, I guess I was pretty good. She's pretty harsh and everything, but like what? Wow, guys, the deception was. It was a roller coaster. I mean, it was good and not good at the same time. It was like a singular dichotomy. It was crazy. I still kind of got Sid's voice going on right now.
It's kind of a really perfect representation of the Warrens.
Yeah, I think
or
so too.
Actually, the whole city of New Havens.
Yeah, probably. Okay, so let's talk game plan. And the elevator is just slowly dinging away as it goes floor to floor. She says, all right, we get up to 40, and then what?
Well, we try to use the executive elevators to go as high as we can, I think, and I look at Doc and Dan.
She closer inspects the badges that you guys have, and she's like, guys, I think this is, like, management. I don't think it's going to get us into the exec offices.
Well, Dan knows electrical systems of cars. I'm sure elevators are similar.
That seems like a pretty big assumption, Boulder.
Well, you know what they say about making assumptions. It kind of works out sometimes.
And with that, you see 40 light up above on the elevator display above, and the doors slide open, and you see another set of rows upon rows of cubicles. But this time, the outer walls are all ringed with corner executive offices, or management offices, excuse me. And the doors slide open, and Marla kind of pushes through you guys and out onto the floor, shouldering her bag. And she says, all right, Tina, Nid, and Walter, let's do this thing. And she waits for you guys to exit the elevator.
Well, Marla, you didn't... Oh, I'm sorry, Susan. You did mention previously that if we got to this floor...
Yes, Walter?
Yes, you did mention that if we got to this floor, there might be a chance of grabbing some executive badges.
I mean, we probably can. We can probably grab...
We really just need one.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if we go into, like, the management offices around the corners out there, we could probably... I'm sure they have access to the executive offices and to the general office floor, so... I mean, it's worth a shot.
All right, let's go.
You guys start to head down the aisle, and just as you turn the corner to head down the long hall next to the row cubicles on the right hand side, you can see just door after door after door inset into the side of this ring, and you see most of them are closed. But as you turn to hit that corner, you almost bump into a mail cart that's being pushed down the row, and you look and see a man with a poorly tailored suit, tall and thin, with slick back brown hair, and he says,
hey, Miss Beckett, how's 440 treating you?
Sid, how...
How? Have we been talking that long? Like, this is out of character. Have we been talking that long in an elevator?
How did you get to floor 40 so quickly from 27, Sid?
I'm just dropping off mail, ma'am.
That's kind of funny, is because the way you said
it's like mailman. I know, I got that.
That was pretty good.
Now, anyway. Now, Sid.
Yeah, Mr. Cronkite.
Yes, so an unfortunate thing has happened. My badge doesn't seem to want to work for the elevator to go upstairs. Now, do you know where we can possibly maybe get this fixed, or if I can get like a temporary badge of some sort?
I probably down at reception, if I had to guess. You know, they kind of handle that stuff, or y'all could go to the tech department.
Yes, well, where would we find the tech department at?
That's down on floor 23.
So we have to go back downstairs. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Sid.
Yeah, no problem. Anything else I can do for you guys? I looked through my mail cart and I didn't see any mail for y'all, so sorry about that. Also, where are your desks at? I tried to find you in the... And he looks at his wad on his wrist. He said, I tried to find you in the system and really couldn't find anything, but, you know, maybe It doesn't have all, like, the upper guys in there, so...
Yeah, Sid, well, that's a great question. But you're doing a great job, you're very speedy, you're very fast at your job, and you're gonna go very far with this company. Now, if you'll excuse us, we need to go down to the tech department and see if we can get these badges fixed.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, I was actually just heading to the elevator. I can ride down with you, or y'all gonna hang out here for a little bit?
No, we're gonna go now.
Alright, so...
And Marla's, like, giving Den a sidelong, like, look, like, are we really going back downstairs? And, Den, do you respond?
Den's gonna kind of, like, downplay a shaking head thing. I'm like, actually, I gotta run to the bathroom real quick. If y'all wanna go, fine, but, I'll follow behind. And Den's gonna turn to kind of, like, openly look for a bathroom kind of thing.
Sid?
Yes, Miss Beckett?
I'm gonna teach you an important parts of business. Come closer.
He pushes a cart close to you, kind of wheeling it to the side so he can maneuver to you.
I'm going to put my arm around Sid, and I'm going to kind of bend down so I can do it. Sid, let me tell you something about businesses, okay? Sometimes you have to practice what's called subterfuge. Do you know what subterfuge means?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so think Cloak and Dagger. Think Hidden. Have you ever played The Craft of Worlds?
Yeah, sure. Who hasn't?
Okay, so you know the class that does it in the darkness, the Rouge?
Yeah, the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, so... So, in business, sometimes you have to act like a Moulin Rouge, okay? Do you know if there's any offices around here with executive cards that can get us on the elevators?
I'm sorry I didn't hear your question because I was laughing, Miss Beckett.
It's okay. Do you know how the Moulin Rouges has to sometimes, you know, take things in the darkness? Well, you have to do things like that in businesses.
Yes, ma'am. That's my favorite class to play.
In business, sometimes if you want to get ahead, you have to do some darker things. Do you know if there's any businesses, men's, whose offices or women's, that are possibly contain executive elevator passes? You've been in there to drop off mail, so you could have seen them.
Well, yeah, I've got a key that I could use to kind of get you in. I don't think Mr. Porlo is here today, so maybe his. But is this okay, Miss Beckett?
Sid, stand right here, okay?
Oh, okay.
Don't move. I'm going to walk over to Walter Cronkite. Walter.
Yes, Tina.
Give me one of your corpos.
But I only have 5 left.
Look, we're probably going to die doing this, Doc. Give me one of the corpos.
That's a fair point, Boulder. Here you go.
I'm going to take the corpo and I'm going to fold it up in my hand. I'm going to offer my hand to shake to Sid Fortnite.
He gives you the dead fish handshake.
And I'm going to release the corpo into his hand.
His eyes go wide feeling that. And
Sid, Sid.
Yes, Miss Beckett.
Contain yourself.
I just, okay. Oh, composure, Miss Beckett. I got it like a Moulin Rouge.
Oh, this is how business works, Sid.
I hate this bit. So,
this is how business works, Sid. It's called quid pro quo.
Okay, got it. What's that mean?
So I'm going to scratch your back with that corpo. You can go buy yourself some new suits.
He turns around so you can scratch his back.
I'm going to scratch his back, and then now you're going to scratch mine. And I'm going to stop him before he walks around, and I said, your back scratch for me is to go get one of those executive elevator cards.
Okay. Yep, okay, got it, Miss Beckett. I got it. Okay, I understand.
And he says, can you watch my mail cart?
Yes, it's a secret, Sid. No one else but me, Walter, Nid, and Miss Stark know about this. Do not tell anyone else. If they catch you, tell them that you were trying to clean off the desk, and then come back here.
Den, from a cubicle to your left, somebody's head pokes over the edge and goes,
Could you guys, I don't know, shut up? Stop talking? We're trying to work here.
Excuse me, but we're whisperings, so shut up.
This is just extremely rude. We're just trying to crunch the numbers and do the spreads. And
look, work like everyone else, okay? Get back to your spreadsheets, put on your little headphones, listen to your Rogan Experience podcast or whatever you do.
Tina.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, screw you, buddy.
Hey.
That's Miss Buddy, okay? And Boulder's going to trudge over to the cubicle. Say it to my face.
I hate this. Let's,
The guy kind of stands up and gets real close to Boulder's bent down face and says, screw you, buddy.
All
right. Right after that, I lean over to Sid.
No. Din's walking over. No. Hold on. Hold on.
Actually, Tina's going to go, listen here, you little
shit. Tina, professionalism, lady. At this point, can Din look around to see if there's like cameras watching?
There are a huge number of cameras on this floor.
Din's going to like turn her around to make him look at him and go and kind of like motion his eyes towards the camera.
We don't belong here. Stop making trouble. Who cares about him?
Boulder's gonna turn around. He's gonna get back in the guy's face and he's gonna spit in his face as he talks. Not like, you know, but make sure he enunciates really hard.
Right.
He's gonna go, be happy that there's cameras and I don't wanna lose my positions.
The guy does not even acknowledge you. He just sits back down and and turns back to his computer.
Oh, all right, it's over then. I'm going to walk back to Sid. Did you get that key, Sid?
Miss Beckett, I got it right here.
Thanks, Sid. And then I'm gonna bend down to him again, put my arm around him, go, keep doing what you're doing, kid. You'll lead this place one day.
Wow, thanks, Miss Beckett. Okay, I got to get back to my rounds.
You know what? Keep doing this hard work. So use that corpo, and you get you a suit that fits, okay? And you go and... Look, Sid, I appreciate you, but you also need to invest in a toothbrush.
I had my morning coffee. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's just really pungent.
No, it was a strong brew this morning. It's probably left over from a few days. No, it's fine. I'll get some mouthwash or something.
But just always remember, Sid, keep that speed up, and always remember, you're who's matter, not everyone else. You get you a heads, you get what's yours.
Okay, that's good advice. So, all right, I'm going to get back to my rounds, and I'll see y'all later. And he begins to push his cart past. Hold up. Yeah, and he looks at your name tag. Easel?
And he's going to kind of, like, not do what she did, but, hey, what's the name of that guy that she almost got into a fight with?
And he kind of, like, his face goes dark a little bit, and he's like, I don't really like... him very much.
That's fine. What's his name?
That's Werner.
Werner. Cool. So do you have like any of his mail, like some junk mail or something, before you deliver it to him?
He looks up at you and kind of like sly smiles a little bit, and you see him reach into the mail cart and pull out a stack of envelopes.
And Din's just gonna grab one from him and be like, don't you worry about him, all right, bud? And he's gonna tap on the shoulder and turn around while he puts the piece of mail in his jacket pocket.
So you do that, and Sid pushes past you and towards the elevators, and you guys are standing there next to Werner's cube along the long row of offices. Boulder, you have the elevator pass, and Marla says,
guys, I don't know if this is impressive or the worst thing I've ever seen, but I guess let's keep it up. So far, so good.
So we are doing our job.
Yep. Yep, this is, based on what I've seen so far, par for the course, but hey, stumbling into success and all that, so.
You know, it's very fortunate that we ran into a male boy who requires no charismatic ability whatsoever to convince to get us a key card.
You know, sometimes the punches just roll like that, Doc, so I wouldn't
it's
think too hard
robbery,
on it.
Doc. I'm going to swipe the elevator pass in front of the executive that clearly are marked executive elevators.
Before you do that, roll plus sharp, Boulder.
Oh, Lord.
We had to bring up rolling.
All right. That's a 7. Does somebody want to help me out and point something out?
No, sir. Absolutely not. Boulder, as you walk past Werner's desk, you do not notice until it's too late him stick his foot out to trip you, and it does trip you, but you don't go splaying across the floor like you would as if you had failed. But you do stumble several steps before riding yourself on a high cubicle wall. And what do you do?
I'm going to walk back and hand the key card to Din.
And Din's going to take it and grab his wrist.
And Boulder's going to pull his hand away from Din.
Tina, no.
He's going to walk into the cubicle.
Din's going to look at both Marla and the doc and just kind of gesture frantically of, come on.
And he says, excuse me, Mr. Werner.
Marla goes, Tina, no. Tina, we got, it's lunchtime. Tina, lunch. Tina,
Mr.
you love food.
Mr. Werner, it's times for your performance reviews if you'll come to my office.
He looks at you and he says, "That you are so far below this cubicle that it's not even worth talking to you."
Din's gonna throw his hands in the air like he's frustrated.
I grab Tina's arm and I look at her. Boulder, we have a job to do.
Also, Din's gonna swipe the card in front of the elevator.
The door, it dings and the door's open.
This guy needs to get his ass beat, Docs.
Boulder, I understand. But we
He's
have a
never
joke.
Gonna learn his lessons.
I believe
Doc.
It's time to go. Isn't that right?
Werner says, "Yeah, Tina, get moving. Your bosses are calling you."
I look at Marla. I'm like, help me push, help me push Tina into the
Tina?
Elevator.
She kind of like wide eyes, like shrugs at you. Like, what do you want me to do?
Dina,
let's go.
Tina is gonna take a deep breath in, and a deep breath out. Turn to Werner and say, "I'll see you after my meeting."
He gets real close to you again, like right up in your face, and over enunciates to get a little spittle flying back at you, and he says, "Looking forward to it, Tina."
All right, so going aggro, that's a 13.
So this would be a sucker someone roll. So on a 13 plus, you can either force your hand and suck it up, or you can get them to cave, or they will either force their hand and suck it up, or they will cave and do what you want. So what are you attempting to do?
I'm gonna step on his toe and I want him to sit down
in his heels, basically.
Yes. I want to stomp on his toe where it's like not in camera view, and I want him to sit down and look at me in fear.
In fear.
You see a look of pain pass across his face that he like grimaces against. And then he kind of plops back into his desk chair and looks up at you. But you do not see fear. You see resolve. Quiet resolve.
Oh, he thinks I'm going to get fired.
What do you do?
That's fine. I don't care about the fear part. I know that I just broke two of his toes. So.
Din, you're still waiting with the elevator door open. Marla quickly begins walking towards you and says, you see her mouth crazy as she gets towards the elevator.
Mm-hmm. I walk towards the elevator too, and I'm happy. All right.
Out of character, what floor are we going to again? I know we said it earlier, but sorry, everything happening right now has got everything messed up.
So you've got floors 40 through 65 is the abandoned section of the building. 65 through 90 is the ZSEC offices, and 90 through 120 is the executive office space.
Where are we going, y'all?
Well, executive office space is the highest up, so I mean, we're trying to get to the roof. All
right, so we're gonna go to the highest point. And after Din lets go of the button and hits the elevator, he's going to cross his arms and just stare at Boulder.
So you're going to what floor?
What's the top end of the executive
120.
Suites?
120.
Yeah, we're going. So okay. That's the top end of it?
Yes. Yeah, it's 90
to
120.
120. So as we're riding up and Din does that and Boulder can see his reflection, looks, I could have killed him. He deserved it.
Din's not going to say anything. He's just going to stare.
Boulder, I... You know, I love you, but I'm not really... Is it just the Tina persona that's got you all riled up? I'm very confused. You're normally very nonchalant about most things, so...
Honestly, Docs, I think it's the person's playing me. He's had a pretty good day, so he's actually coming out of the show for
Oh, so he's just
podcasts.
A little bit fired up. I see.
A
okay.
little bit. I mean, I might go and get in the fights in real life.
Din, you're staring at Boulder. I need you to roll plus sharp, and I'm going to give you, since you're not paying attention particularly heavily, I'm going to give you a minus one.
It's going to be a 13.
On a 13, you, as you guys are arguing, you notice that Marla's kind of keeping her distance a little bit, and you see her hand move away as she presses the button for floor 67.
Now, after seeing that, Din's going to move his eyes and watch where the floor counter is.
You're ticking up from, you're passing through the abandoned floors right now, so you're about floor 55, 56.
Din's gonna kind of wiggle his way past and kind of stand in front of everyone then.
Marla says, all right, so executive offices, what, once we get up there, what's the plan? I mean, we still got like 30 floors to go.
Well, I would assume at that point we'd probably be taking the steps.
I mean, that's fine, but we still got like, what did Rat Boy say it was? Like the data servers or something like that? I mean, we still got to get through all that stuff. That's going to be super high security.
I do have the grappling hook, so I mean, we can find ways to use that.
Okay, yeah, I mean, maybe. You guys kind of feel the momentum of the elevator. It is not only taking you up, it's almost taking you at like a slant. You're still standing straight up and down, but you can feel the momentum is kind of pulling you at a slant a little bit. And it seems like this elevator moves in between the, not only up and down, but in between the rings in the building as you guys move up, because only the middle, the center ring, which is the middle of the monolith, is 150 stories tall. But Marla says, all right, so we get to 120 and we find some stairs or a path out on the roof or something like that. I mean, that should be in the center ring, so I guess we'll be good. Okay, that sounds good. Din, you notice that the elevator ticker is now at 64.
Din's going to ready himself and to make sure that she doesn't jet out the door when the elevator opens. And he's going to like also move his other hand to close the door promptly if it opens.
So you move to 66, and then as the counter ticks over, you see Marla kind of take a position against the wall, and the doors slide open on 67 to reveal the ZSEC logo and banner, and a small waiting area right before the bulletproof glass door and security boulder. You see the ZSEC logo for the first time that you can remember, but all of a sudden you stand up straighter and your mind goes blank.
Din hits the close elevator button.
The doors slide closed. And that's where we'll end it for this week. Thank you for joining us for another episode of SideQuest. We hope you had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with this one, guys. I thought it was a pretty good episode. What'd you think of Sid?
I like him. Aside from everyone cool. Assuming he's Rat Boy. Yeah, he's great.
Also, yeah, like, yeah. If we don't, like, finish this and then, like, hear newscasts of how Sid has risen to the top in, like, 2 weeks and taken over ZSG completely.
Well, can I just say something just out loud? Remember the camera bit that we talked about? And remember the last guy we got involved? Jerry?
Yeah. Do we remember him? Fair point. Fair point.
No!
This is why I don't like Fair interacting point. With good NPCs, because they don't end up staying around.
Oh, poor Sid. Poor Sid.
Fair I point. Swear. I swear, if you...
Hey. My. You're the one that decided to get him involved in your deception, so whatever happens to him, that's on you guys, not me. So, just so we're clear.
I know what we're doing.
You're taking
this.
Sid with you?
We're taking Sid with us.
We adopt all NPCs we get along with.
Him and Rat Boy are going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially if Rat Boy teaches him how to sneak.
Oh, my gosh. Dr. Cogsbuckle, you had quite the interaction with Fifi, the receptionist, and seemed to scale that situation without a problem. How are you feeling about your progress thus far in the Hayworth Monolith?
Yes, of course. Well, you know, I'm a little bit frustrated because the altercation, you know, I was like, oh, let's just keep moving. It's the mission. Let's just keep moving. And then Boulder, for some reason, loses something snaps in his brain, and all of a sudden he wants to fight and argue with this random person in a cubicle. But I guess we're in the elevator now, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's all good. Why do you think it stopped at floor 67? I mean, that's ZSEC offices. You saw Din hit 120.
You know, it beats me.
Din, you didn't seem to enjoy Boulder and Sid's Moulin Rouge joke. Why is that?
I didn't know how deep we were going to get in that. And so I'm going to talk to the audience for a second. We have a certain amount of time to record these and potentially get through and through. We spent like 10 to 15 minutes on a wow joke. Like, I understand we have people that maybe play that, but we got to get a job done. And I feel if we're going to keep making these jokes, I just need to know so I could like zone out for a minute, because I followed everything. And in my brain, I was just, I have nothing to contribute to this. I've got nothing. I mean, Boulder's killing it. Cruz is killing it. I like the back and forth, but in my mind, I've got nothing. I can't with this.
Den, did you, why did Marla hit the button for the Z-Sec security office?
I don't know, but I intend to find out. Everything here is shifty. I hate this. I hate, you know, Doc dodged my question, you know, in front of the Widmars. I don't think I forgot about that. I'm going to touch on that subject soon. Marla's been acting all funny, coming about Boulder and all this other nonsense, and now this? She wants to sit here and complain about, you know, it's just like, either it's dumb luck, and it's just like, she's impeding our progress as well. She's part of the problem.
Everybody around you is a turncoat, Den.
It's whatever. I'm done with this.
Boulder, tell me about your interaction with Werner. Is he your new favorite person in the entirety of New Haven?
I swear on all that is holies, that man's will die next episodes.
He's going to be your new Nelson dog.
Oh, man. Yeah, Werner, that's what happens when you hate a character. They become your best friend 10 episodes later. Oh, geez. Okay. Well, Richie, why don't you hit him with our new Twitch channel? Tell him what that's about.
All right. So y'all know about the sick pod, the Twitter, the Facebook, We also have, you know, our Discord where you come hang out, listen to everything we're doing, talk with us before and after. But now we're doing the Twitch thing. So on Fridays, do we have a determined time yet of when we start?
No, I don't think so. Well, let's make one right now. Let's say Fridays at 8:30.
So Fridays at 8:30.
Central.
Okay, so around that time, because some of us, I won't name names because I might be talking about myself, may come late. I don't know. But what the base of the channel is going to be, it's like we're going to start in our catalog at episode one, and we're basically going to just talk about the episode and how we feel going through it, and answer questions potentially from chat, interact with y'all while we just kind of hang out, and yeah, essentially director's cut all of our episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like you know, just a super fun time. I'm excited about it.
It's gonna be something. So yeah, definitely set your I don't know, whatever y'all use, alarm, a Google calendar, a Google Doc, it doesn't matter. Come on by, say hello. I guess we got to do the whole, you know, come subscribe or follow. I don't know. I don't do all that nonsense, but please come by. Look, I don't know how many times I got to say this to y'all. We keep making socials. Come talk to us. Be our friend. I don't know what else I got to do here. You know, do please, I have to make the WoW reference now? Do I have to make a World of Warcraft joke?
I think you got to make an OnlyFans, Richie. I think that's the only thing that's going to draw them in.
All right. Done. Consider it done.
It's happening. It's happening. Okay, well, thank you again for joining us for another episode of SideQuest. I very much want to thank the three greatest PCs of their generation. First off, we have Dan playing Dr. Cogsbuckle. Thank you, Dan.
Yes, of course, Joseph.
We have, oh man, that's weird hearing my name in Dr. Cogsbuckle's voice. We have Rich. I didn't do it this time, Richie. We have Richie nice. Playing Dan. Thank you, Richie.
Yeah, man, no probs.
And then we have Cruz the Man Turner playing Boulder. Thank you, Cruz.
You're welcome. It's all I want to do in life is please my friends.
That's right. Absolutely. And then last but not least, I do want to say a huge shout out and thank you to Lonnie for providing the commercial for John G's Pet Boutique in Hunting Range in last week's episode. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was pretty great.
That was good.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty great. So, but yeah, you can catch us every Friday. We release new episodes every Friday. And also now catch us on Twitch at 8:30 Central Time, and we will do a director's cut of the episode. So, yeah, sounds good. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. Tell the people bye-bye.
Take it easy, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Be safe.
Bye-bye. You know, I'm really happy with the direction I took Boulder this episode. Aggressive.